Welcome back to another episode of Girls Plus Wine Equals Inappropriate Conversations. This is what we do. We get together once a week. We have a chat. It usually comes back to something sexual,
it has, I find. Yeah.
Or it might not be sexual. It might be bodily functions. It kind of sits in that bracket of the unknown or the unspoken.
Yeah.
Because people don't want to speak about certain things because they get concerned that there would be judgment or no one would have ever had it happen to them the same way. So then therefore you retreat rather than wanting to throw it out there to go, you know, has this happened to you?
So this is why we started this, because we felt that girls do this anyway. So you get together, you have a few drinks, and then there's no, what's the word?
No bars hold.
Yeah, there's no...
like it's
no holes bars.
That's it.
No bars hold.
What was the other one that I was trying to think of?
What's the word? There's no limit. There's no line
boundaries?
To cross. There's no boundaries. Yeah. Once you've had a couple of drinks, you talk about whatever.
Well, the line doesn't even exist then, does it? Sometimes, depending upon how many wines you've had.
Yeah.
If the line's there to be crossed, it almost gets erased within probably... the third wine.
There's a lot of mornings after where you go, oh my God, I can't believe I told them that. I told them about that. I can't believe it. Now they all know.
Although I think once you get to that point within a certain friendship group, nothing's sort of off limits.
I reckon I would easily, as a early 20s, you know, the days where you used to go clubbing and, you know, that's what Friday and Saturday nights were for.
Yeah.
And you'd go to the toilet together because often there'd be a line for the girls' toilets. And I would often go into the toilet with a girlfriend and just wee.
Yeah.
like there's...
Me, I was like...
No, is that an English thing?
No, it's not at all. I was just thinking of it like a recent trip away.
Yeah, you do.
I mean, I saw a photo and there was four of them, not two.
Yeah, to anyway. Be honest, I very rarely close the toilet door in my house. But you came across a very interesting article, which we're going to bring up today.
It's a milestone. And the article that I've come across, obviously, through a group of women, is four facts about the clitoris you need to know on the 17th birthday of its charted anatomy.
This is saying that we've only discovered the clitoris 17 years ago.
Yes. So in May, it says literally 17 years ago today, an Australian scientist too, which is quite a milestone, obviously female, she had basically found the clitoris and came to change the way women experience sexual pleasure forever.
So does this mean that it wasn't until after then? When 17 years ago?
1998.
Okay, so pre-1998, you couldn't buy a vibrator with the bit on the front that is to stimulate the clitoris.
Before this, there was like, obviously there's always sex and, you know, there was sex on movies and all the rest, but it was always portrayed through, you know, deep penetration. There was no, I guess it was a little bit mysterious around the clitoris. There was never, ever any just sexual pleasure for women. Like it was never emphasized around the clitoris. It was kind of like the clitoris was just there, but it wasn't ever emphasized that that was the pleasure part of a female's body.
Well, according to this article, the clitoris is part of the body that's sole purpose is for pleasure. So it literally has no other job. It doesn't do anything apart from be there for pleasure. And apparently in the same way that a penis erects and gets bigger,
hard
and then
on,
blood
yeah.
flows to it, the clitoris does the same. Like it gets puffier.
So
swollen.
The penis is referred to as getting a hard-on. So your clitoris does the same. It gets engorged with blood and brings, you know, when it's all ready to go, but it's called a wide-on, not a hard-on.
A wide-on. A wide-on. Have you ever looked at the clitoris when it's stimulated?
Oh,
I don't know what it looks like.
Well, have a look after, though, because it's quite, for some, it can become quite engorged. You can see that there's blood to the area. it wouldn't look like a hard-on, obviously, but there's, you know, there's been stimulation to that area, definitely.
This article compares it a lot to the penis, saying that it's, you know, it's quite similar in that, you know, the penis works and gets stimulated in the same sort of way.
Mm.
And that would also ring true, I reckon, with, I don't know if you've ever used a vibrator to have an orgasm on the clitoris.
Yeah.
I'm way out of my comfort zone with this conversation. But you can't do it again straight after.
No. So the clitoris can be overworked.
And that's
you can overstimulate.
Same with the penis, because they say that you are the penis, you can't come. And then do it again straight away.
Well, some men have an ability, and it usually takes 20 to 25 minutes, and, you know, maybe it involves a shower or whatever to, you know, let it calm down, basically. But then they have the ability of being able to back it up and, you know, maybe perform again in 25 to 30 minutes after you've obviously already just had sex. Some people cannot. It just doesn't happen. I think that there is a lot of mental part of it, of whether you can and you can't. But for a female, your clitoris can be, they say, overused or oversensitized, so that you do need to sort of back off, especially if you're using toys like vibrators and things like that. But the difference is, in the last 17 years, obviously the work that Helen O'Connell, the scientist from Australia, has done around this, she's now working with a leading sex toy brand, the Womanizer, which... Remember, I don't know if you remember, but when I hosted that Tupperware party, which wasn't a Tupperware party.
Yeah,
it was a Tupperware party, but when all the girls got there, it was a sex toy party. Hilarious. And then, you know, that carried on until 2 o'clock in the morning and I couldn't get rid of everyone.
I've never known a Tupperware party to go till 2 o'clock in the morning. And then what I love is that when all the deliveries came from people's orders, you had to give them out in the school playground. This one's for you.
You could say that I didn't think about the logical side of it. But the lady that came and sold all the toys, and that was her job, it was her party, she spoke so highly about this toy called a Womanizer because it stimulates your clitoris as well as the internal G-spot that we all know. It's like a double whammy. The next point about the clitoris is the G-spot isn't actually a spot at all. It's the clitoris. The stimulation around it is that there's no spot. It's actually just your clitoris. And so what we refer to as the G-spot is instead the internal clitoris near your I always get this word incorrect, urethra.
Aretha.
Is that how I say it?
Aretha Franklin.
Urethra.
Yeah.
So there's actually all this misinformation that maybe, you know, not only men, but women are not educated on their own bodies and understanding the little areas that are the sexual pleasure. You know, how lucky are we? We're the only ones that have an actual part of our body, you know, an organ that is just for sexual pleasure.
Yeah.
We should be celebrating that.
Yeah. Well, 17 years ago.
Only 17.
They celebrated it by working out what it was. But they also say that your G-spot's up your bum. That's a fact. Because gay men find that so pleasurable.
Yeah.
Because the G-spot's up the bum.
Right. Wow. That was a big...
And just a FYI as well, you know the Womanizer sex toy that you're talking about? That's the Lily Allen one.
Yeah.
She brought that out.
Yeah. Yeah. That one. So it's got a... I think they've got a couple of different versions, but the main one... This lady came and she was talking about it. She was blah, 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 you know. Oh, it takes me literally 30 seconds to orgasm with that machine. I was like, everyone bought one at that party, clearly. I thought this was one little piece of information that was quite interesting, which is the clit stimulation can actually relieve pain. It can actually help with relieving pain and discomfort around the, you know, the contraction of the pelvic muscles when an orgasm occurs can help relieve the tension if you've got headaches, backaches, or even period pain.
Mm.
Did you know this?
I knew that you should be engaging in self-pleasure.
Yeah.
You told me that too. Yeah, you go to see a
Yeah, my
vagina.
No, she's a women physiotherapist for your
physio for internals. Your
vag. Yeah,
yeah. And so, and she said that you should be pleasuring yourself because it's good for the muscles and the.
She said, yeah. She said not only that, you should be scheduling in self pleasure, 1 hour of self pleasure.
Yeah.
1 hour. Do you have a spare 1 hour? 1 hour. And she said, like the coffee that you want to go and have with your friend for an hour, you should be scheduling your self-pleasure 1 hour to explore your body and understand it and basically pleasure yourself every week.
Okay, so two things with this. Firstly, I don't think you need an hour. I don't think you need a whole hour. Like, what are you doing in there? Like, you can't just keep going over and over. Like, that doesn't take an hour. Secondly, I've got a shared calendar with everyone else in the office. I can't be putting that self-pleasure in 9 a.m. on a Monday.
But it is so important.
For your health.
For your health. Probably your mental health as well.
There you go, ladies.
There you go, ladies. Schedule in your 1 hour. She's like, breath work is really important. She's like, your mindset and the mental, like where you are mentally is a big player to women orgasming properly.
Yeah.
Because obviously if you're mentally distracted, she said you won't, what you need to do is like put your time and energy and your breath all into the right muscles so that you're relaxed and you're breathing. And all of this plays a massive part to the big orgasms, the showstoppers that you want. This is so, I was like, I could talk about this forever. I do think it is one area in which women really need to put some time and energy into learning about themselves, but not only send the link on to your partner because it's so, so important for also, you know, your partner to understand and know what they're doing as well.
Yeah. Well, I remember people always used to say, it's not necessarily the sex that's the most enjoyable part, it's the foreplay.
Yeah. Or it's also about pleasing the other. If you feel like you're not doing a very good job, that element can come into it where you're like, oh, I want to know a little bit more so I could get a little bit better. Well, I would hope that most people are anyway. That's what I'm going to put out there and say. It's amazing, you know, if you do get it right, what could happen and maybe it'll ramp up your sex life again.
Mm.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I can't say that I am, you know.
Need to not be such a selfish lover.
Selfish. We've talked about selfish lovers. Yeah. That's okay, as long as you return the favour in other ways.
Okay. Well, I clear up after dinner. Oh, we are the girls gone wild.